Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Hey guys, I hope you've been getting some work done while I've been out here with the team at the Air Force Academy.
As usual, Fred, we're carrying everything. TV, radio, paper, we're all set.
You just continue your vacation. Take it easy.
That's five in a row for the Patriots, and I would say that they were playing at a slightly higher elevation than the Broncos last week.
Did you see what he did there, the elevation joke? That
good,
was a good one.
Good elevation humor. I get it. I
bet you Isaiah McKenzie didn't like the elevation joke.
It all went wrong right there. I mean, the game was over right there.
We were watching that game, and I said, three and out. Oh, maybe we have a game here. The defense has come to play. The challenge of Tom Brady, muffed, game over.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at all the different... Listen, the Patriots are going to win the game anyway.
Right.
I think we can all assume they were the better team. That's what we felt. You and I argued about it. And the only thing really you worried about was the venue. It wasn't the team that caused any concerns. So then you look at the way the Broncos helped you on special teams. Deion Lewis returns a kick for a touchdown. Rex Burkhead blocks a punt. Isaiah McKenzie drops a punt. And then, oh, by the way, if that weren't enough, in the second half when the game had long since been decided, somehow the punt return team got called for having 12 men on the field to extend a drive that ended up in another touchdown. So 24 points in all, really the special teams greatly contributed to for Denver. Some of that was really good play by the Patriots. I think the Lewis kick return was an outstanding example of just what Bill Belichick always preaches. You know, you can't just make a 103-yard return with one guy making four guys miss. It requires a lot of good blocks. Your boy, James Devlin, unbelievable block. Dwayne Allen. Give him some credit. And Matthew Slater, old reliable. They really opened up a big hole. And to me, the game was over right then, first quarter. And the Broncos all but admitted it after the game.
Yeah, it's never a good sign when your special teams units are criticized by both coaches who played in the game. We had Vance Joseph saying, worst he's ever seen in his coaching career. And then Bill Belichick, who almost never says anything about an opposing player making a mistake, said McKenzie, well, you know, it's not the first time he's dropped a punt. We've seen that before.
No, fifth, just in case we're keeping track.
But the Patriots took advantage. I don't want to take away from the win and say, oh, the Broncos gave it to you. They helped you. But when you're a good team, you take advantage of those. Because you certainly could punt. You certainly could, I don't know, kick a field goal, right? And then all of a sudden it doesn't feel quite as good. But the Patriots, I know offensively it was interesting to see, you know, more weapons added to sort of the way they're doing things. I still think the tight ends and the passing backs have become sort of the centerpiece of the offense. You know, you look at what Rob Gronkowski does, whether it's catching the ball to make plays or three guys cover him and Rex Burkhead just sneaks out to score a touchdown. The passing backs have been so versatile the last few weeks. You get Martellus Bennett back. He's, you know, the shoulder's good now, but he's got a hammy.
He's got the shoulder thing.
Shoulder and a hammy. But he's catching three balls in his debut, and I thought you saw what can happen. He can just sneak out a backside, get you 30 yards. Offensively, I love the fact that not just James Devlin had a huge role. 45 snaps, career high. I thought the best blocking he's ever done as a Patriot, blowing linebackers up.
You thought linebackers were...
Tapping out.
Were asking
I'm good.
Out. They
I'm good.
Had enough.
He's hitting me hard. Tap me out. But Dwayne Allen scores a touchdown, right?
Yeah.
Adrian Waddle starts at right tackle, and... I don't know if Von Miller played. Now, the Patriots did a good job scheming, getting him in coverage at times.
Yeah.
But Adrian Waddle has stepped up to the challenge of Bosa, Ingram, and certainly Von Miller in a couple games
As
now.
His agent pointed out on Twitter. But I do,
checking
I'm glad,
him off.
I'm glad you brought up Waddle because he definitely deserves a mention here. I thought he was outstanding. If I was a little worried about that, I thought Cannon has been a guy who had stepped up to those challenges in the past. There was really no difference. You didn't notice it.
So now defensively. How do we feel about the performance?
Just okay.
Not an aw, yeah?
No, I mean, I felt aw, yeah, about the offense and the special teams. But the defense, you know, the points allowed at the end of the day is an aw, yeah.
Right.
But I think the way it came about, again, is too many drives that they're allowing now. They'll tell you they're not really focused on the yards, and they're only worried about the points, and they're right, because that's all you worry about. Do you keep that team around 20 or below 20, as they have for, what, four or five games
You'll
in a row
win.
Now? You're going to win, especially with this offense. But you're going to win pretty much with any offense if you can keep a team below 20. I just feel like you have an offense that's as limited as Denver's. They haven't been able to move the ball or score any points all season long against really anybody other than that Dallas game early in the year. And they had, I think, four or five drives of 50 yards or more, 60 yards or more. Fortunately, the Patriots came up with some plays in the red zone, but I think Malcolm Butler might be on your radar?
I thought he struggled.
Yeah.
After sort of saying he was back during the bye week, assessing that he had improved and gotten through, you know, he was benched early in the year, maybe, whatever he was, the situation, as you call it.
It was a situation.
You get Stephon Gilmore back, and I thought he was okay. Gave up a touchdown to Maris Thomas, after which immediately he was turning to Daron Harmon to question the communication there. That pass defense, to me, no pass rush. It's almost like they're not even trying to rush anymore. They're dropping more into coverage than they are trying to get after the quarterback. And the corners, I still think they need to step up and become more of a strength in that back end. And the run defense. You were undermanned. Malcolm Brown was out. You're, you know, without Hightower moving forward. I think the run defense still has something to prove. But the bottom line is the bottom line, the points. And if they continue to find ways to not give up points, they'll continue to win.
Looking ahead to Mexico, we know one thing. The Patriots will be facing a better quarterback than they did last week in Derek Carr.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that with Oakland's situation on offense, they at least have the potential, Andy, to put some points on the board and move the ball. They have two really talented wide receivers that I don't think have been great this year in Cooper and Crabtree, but they also have a very athletic tight end who has been pretty productive in Jared Cook. Tight ends have been an occasional problem. I'm not exactly sure which Oakland Raiders team is going to show up. They've had times where they've looked like they did last year and the offense has had it clicking. That Kansas City game on the Thursday night sticks out where Cooper had 200-plus yards. Cook has been a guy who's been over 100 yards like two or three times out of the last three or four games. They have some weapons, and I think this will be more of a test for the defense.
Yeah, everything about that Raiders team has the potential to give you problems. The issue is they haven't lived up to their potential all year. I firmly believe just about every aspect of that offense has underperformed. The quarterback, the offensive line, the running back. Marshawn Lynch was supposed to give them a consistent force on the ground. He hasn't. All he's done is picked fights with referees and gotten himself suspended.
He may just be done. And maybe they don't have that running game to fall back on. It'd be interesting to me, though, to see how the Patriots attack this. When Gilmore and Butler have played their best, I think it was the Tampa game, and I think Gilmore, on his side, it was the Denver game. Just flat out, man, you're matching up with a receiver. I don't know if they can do that in this
game. I don't think that's what you do this week. There's no obvious matchups. In those games, there was obvious a bigger receiver that you said Gilmore can handle, and then a smaller, quicker receiver that, in theory, Butler can handle. Those are his matchups. So you did that with Jackson, with Butler, and then Sanders. There's not really one of those guys that is the focal point of that Raiders passing attack. Both receivers are a little bigger, a little bit more of, you know, Gilmore type matchups, I would say, in Crabtree and Cooper. And I'm most worried about the tight end.
I know.
You know, Cook,
I
think, can really challenge the middle of the field. And that's what has me. But the good news is, the flip side of it is, the Raiders defense stinks. The Raiders defense is worse than the Patriots.
I don't know why you exaggerate so much.
Well, their next interception will be their first. That's not an exaggeration.
These things happen.
Their opponents have combined for a what? 110 passer rating. These are numbers that we criticized the Patriots for early in the year, but the Patriots have gotten out of that little
slump.
Don't
leave out the 70-plus percent completion rate that opposing quarterbacks have. It's been a disaster.
And who are they
facing?
Secondary
has been a disaster. Now they face the best passing attack in football.
The reigning AFC Offensive Player of the Week,
Tom Brady,
who last week didn't throw a pick and completed every pass he wanted against what's supposed to be a good defense with the best corners in football. Now you have a defense with the worst corners in football that stinks.
And we keep talking about the backs and the tight ends and the quick throws, and you know, maybe they're going to be worried about Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin off the edges. I think those are two talented, especially Mack, two talented edge rushers.
So are Bosa and Ingram.
But
so
is
Miller.
I think you can do whatever you want against this team. I don't think you have to just get the ball out quick and go into the flats with the backs. I think you can get it downfield to Cooks and maybe Dorsett. I think you can go to the tight ends that you've been doing. I think you can do pretty much anything you want.
And you might have to because they might do what they want to. That felt negative.
Sounds good, guys. Get back to work.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? And also brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. The legacy rolls on. Visit FisherPlows.com.
This week's From the Heart, we look at the matchup in the middle of the pass defense for the Patriots. Patrick Chung likely will see a lot of Jared Cook, the leading receiver from the tight end position for Oakland. 39 catches, almost 500 yards receiving, almost 13 yards a catch. He is a playmaker. He's an athlete. He can stretch the field, run after catch opportunities. We talked about it earlier. There's no obvious way to target the outside receivers, but I can guarantee Jared Cook will be targeting the middle of the field. Patrick Chung has had an up-and-down season. He's had some good games, but other times, Austin Seferian Jenkins and company have taken advantage. Chung needs to step up this week.
Billy, earlier in the show, I talked a little bit about the Patriots' red zone offense and the struggles they've had. I know Tom Brady's been a little bit frustrated by this, and I mentioned the idea of having Bennett and Gronk together. We haven't seen a whole lot of that. Even last year, we didn't see a whole lot of that. I think that should improve things. But I'm going to stick with one other element of the red zone attack that I think has been lacking. I don't think the Patriots run the ball enough when they get close to the goal line. And I think they've had success doing that. Way back in the very first game of the year, that was Mike Gillisley's shining moment as a Patriot. He had three rushing touchdowns, all from very in close to the goal line. I don't think they give enough opportunities to the ground game. I'd even like to see Deion Lewis. I know he's not the biggest guy, but he's tough. And he can get those tough yards in between the tackles. Give the ground game some opportunities, and maybe that red zone percentage will be on the rise.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
We're going to have a little bit of an international flair to Trash Talk this week. Two questions, Paul Perillo. A, do you like the games outside the United States? And B, if you do, where would you like to see the Patriots go next?
You know, I really don't love the international games. I think that there's only eight games that you play home and away in the NFL, and I think the home venue is really important. So I don't like the fact that some teams, I think there's an inequity to it. I think teams,
but they're willing.
Teams lose, not always. You just sort of do what you got to do, and, you know, that's the way it is. Those are the rules. But it doesn't really matter if I like them or not. I'd like to see them play in Australia. I always wanted to go to Australia. How's that sound?
Yeah, but you're not going to Mexico either. How do you know you're going to Australia?
No, but I would lobby Fred to go. I had no interest in going to Mexico.
I do like them. I don't necessarily go all in where I want a team in London in a few years and all that. But I do like the international flavor. I do like trying to grow the game. And I certainly think we don't need to get into the depths of this. I think you need to grow the game internationally, given some of the issues with CTE and within the U.S.,
down
maybe
the road,
pipeline of talent.
Sure.
I think you want to grow globally. I would say Germany. And I know that's one that's actually been bandied about quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, from our perspective, we've seen PFW in Progress, our radio show on Patriots.com. There's a good fan base in Germany. We've seen Sebastian Vollmer. We've seen Marcus Kuhn. We've seen guys from over there. If you remember NFL Europe, when it was ending, when it was winding down, almost all the teams were in Germany. And I like the idea of bringing the game to people that have already shown interest in it, not just that it's a spectacle, a one-off. They might actually want to develop the game in Germany.
Yeah, I think your answer is probably the one that's going to happen. I think Germany makes a lot of sense. Europe would be great anywhere in Europe, certainly.
Are you making this only about your travel desires?
No. Well, I think the interest in Germany, I think, would absolutely be there. I don't know if it would be as strong in Australia, but I'd like to see it happen.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Germany, and I'd say anywhere in Europe, almost anywhere in Europe, you could just bounce around. I'd actually like to see more bouncing around in Europe.
Well, if we're doing that, I think we're going to Rome.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Got to go to the homeland.
Spain, anywhere you want. Portugal, spread it throughout Europe, I think might be a way. And then down the road, as you want to expand, maybe you have a grander fan base there or even multiple teams because it's not that hard to travel within Europe. So I would stick with Europe before you get crazy and go to Australia. That's far away.
I would stick with the good old U.S. Just keep all the games here.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner and New England's best ticket source for all Patriots games. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason?
Back when Robert Kraft raised the white flag for Deflategate and took the league's punishment, a lot of Patriots fans were upset that he didn't use the nuclear option, taking it to the court. In light of the current drama between Jerry Jones and his fellow owners, Kraft is looking pretty good right now. He chose to abide by the very rules he and his owners put in place. In the case of Jones versus the NFL's compensation committee working on Roger Goodell's new contract, those rules don't apply. He's threatened to sue. Jones' beef has its merits. There are serious issues the league is dealing with that come right back to the commissioner. A new contract should take everything into consideration. And Jones has some well-earned sway. In a league that shares revenues equally among the 32 teams, the Cowboys have done more than their fair share to grow the pot. But Jones should use that influence within the structure he helped create. Threatening legal action is just plain selfish and will wind up hurting everyone, including himself. That said, Jones had nothing to say on this until Ezekiel Elliott got suspended. You don't think that's a factor, right?
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, I'm here with fullback extraordinaire for the Patriots, James Devlin. And first of all, Andy Hart from PFW is very jealous that I got to do this interview and he didn't. But seriously, I would recommend a restraining order.
I appreciate the love that Andy shows the fullback position. And, it's few and far between out there, people that love the fullback position like he does. So I really do appreciate it.
Well, he's leading the charge to get you in the Pro Bowl. Did you know that?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, too.
Yeah, he's getting you on the ballot.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, first of all, coming off a big game, a lot more snaps than you've been seeing. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you were getting ready for before you knew were going to happen?
You know, I think every game we kind of have a game plan going into it. We had a pretty broad game plan, and then as the game progressed, we kind of fall into, the way the game's really being played offensively, and then, how they're playing it defensively. So it was just kind of how it played out, that I was out there a lot, and, appreciate the confidence that our coaches have in having me out there and running the ball a little bit. And, we did some good things out there, so I was happy.
So what's more satisfying for you, the crushing block or the first down catch?
Absolutely the block. I mean, that's what I'm here for. That's my role. Every once in a while I get the ball in my hands a little bit, and I just try to, keep it and get as many yards as I can. But definitely throwing a good block and, having my running back cut right off it and come back and tell me I did a good job. That's what I live for.
So what are we going to see next, a post pattern or a fullback dive?
I'm not sure. You're going to have to ask Josh that one. So.
Is the dive in the playbook?
It has been in the past. I think it's always there. It's just whether we get it called or not. So.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what's going on this week here at the Air Force Academy. How's it been going for you?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to come out here and train out here. This is high altitude, so it's good for us to kind of get acclimated to that before we go down to Mexico City. But, the Air Force Academy has been great for us. I mean, the coach came and spoke to us and, just really really kind of opens our eyes to this world and just how lucky we are to have people, defending our country.
Quick thoughts on the Raiders coming up in Mexico?
They got a really talented group. They're very explosive on offense, and then their defense is fast, physical. They got a lot of size, so we definitely got our work cut out for us Sunday night.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And seriously, I would consider that restraining order on Andy Hart.
We'll see about that. Yeah.
All right, James Devlin, thank you very much.
You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
All right, back here at the Air Force Academy, it's time for the questions that you sent to AskPFW@Patriots.com. We'll lead off with Jim Saylor, who asked, can you help us understand the waiver rule and why the Patriots chose to pick up Marty Bennett on waivers versus letting him hit the market and signing him there? What's the advantage?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. If you want the guy, Andy, you got to claim him. You don't want to take any chances. And it's not just about the two teams that were after them in the waiver claim. It puts the rest of the league now in a position where they can come in and sign him for whatever they want. I think the contract was pretty affordable. They didn't have to worry about any of the bonus money that was due him that Green Bay, is probably still going to fight over. So if you want Bennett, you go out and you claim him and you make sure you get him. And then if it doesn't work out, you just let him go. Really, nothing ventured, nothing lost. And I think also, once you start getting into a situation where there's different teams involved, and now potentially maybe Bennett's thinking about retiring, maybe he's not, but now maybe someone wants to offer him some money. He goes, wait a minute. So now you get a long-term thing, and maybe you get a bidding war on your hands. I think it made a lot of sense to do it that way.
Next up is Rodney Dees. He's worried about the running backs. He doesn't think that they have the type of workhorse back that'll get him through the cold months of December and maybe January.
Yeah, I'm not worried at all. I know Gillislee's been a disappointment. He was supposed to be that bigger back, that lead back, that guy that could get you the tough yards and maybe down the stretch in the winter you lean on. But it hasn't worked out. And I think Deion Lewis has shown the ability to run for this team when healthy. He has become the lead back. And I've never thought of the Patriots since Corey Dillon. I've never thought of the Patriots as win or lose based on the guy that's running the ball in the backfield, that they're going to play that style. They're going to win and lose with their passing game, and I think they have enough guys in Burkhead, in Lewis. James White proved it in the Super Bowl on occasion that they can run the ball enough to win.
Certainly not, haven't thought of them as a power running team.
No.
You know, even with Blunt, I think they struggled in some short yardage stuff. And I think that's been an issue earlier this season. But lately, I think it's been a little bit better. They got stopped the other night, but that was a quarterback sneak. When they went for the fourth and inches, I thought Burkhead got it easily. And I agree with you about Lewis. I think he's a lot tougher between the tackles than he's given credit for.
Plus, when you have a fullback like James Devlin, you're fine.
Next is Len Cromati, and he wants to know, Rex Burkhead or Deion Lewis? Who would you prioritize to extend and why?
Can I flip a coin? Because
that
would be my first
one.
Option. I actually like both guys, but I have concerns about both guys. I think both guys have shown the ability to contribute, certainly as pass catchers. Deion Lewis has shown the ability to run the ball a little bit better. I still have questions about Burkhead as a runner, and both guys have had injuries not just here, but previously in their NFL career. So I don't know if my owner, if I'm the GM, I don't know if my owner would like me to say I'm just going to flip a coin and sign whichever one is heads, but that's what I do.
Yeah, the injury concerns are what make it really difficult. And I guess I'm going to lean to Burkhead because I think he'd be easier to re-sign. I think Lewis right now, he's sort of been fighting his whole NFL life. And not that Burkhead has gotten these big contracts either, but I think that you might be able to get him a little bit more affordably. But I totally get what you're saying. I think they're both talented. They're both versatile. And unfortunately, they're both injury-prone. So there's really, kind of similar in age, too. So not a lot to choose from. I think I would go with Burkhead.
Play them off each other. Put one contract on the table. Whoever gets to it first, you sign.
What is this, Law and Order?
Yes.
That's it for this week's questions. Every week, send them to AskPFW at Patriots.com. I'll see you when I get back from Mexico.